This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker-Campbell along with you in studio with my producer, Jack McCraw. And we're going to continue to get you ready for the divisional round. Some big games coming up today and tomorrow. One in particular that I have my eye on, of course, is the Browns and the Chiefs. And Jack, how about Cleveland advancing to the divisional round after that game against Pittsburgh? How surprised were you?
I'm not surprised that Pittsburgh lost to the Browns because I thought that this whole season Pittsburgh has been the most fool's gold team that I've ever seen in the NFL. Even with that 11-0 start, they didn't really beat anybody meaningful with the exception of the Ravens. That being said, I am surprised by the margin of defeat that Cleveland beat Pittsburgh.
Yes.
At one point, they were up 28-0. And give it to the Steelers credit. They did almost come back against the Browns, but the Browns were able to put them away, and Baker Mayfield is playing with some swag right now. I'm not going to say that they're a favorite against the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't think the Chiefs should underestimate this Browns team.
Hey, not to digress, but what do you think is the future for the Steelers? Do they need to start moving away from Big Ben? I mean, how much more does he have in the tank? He's, what, 38 years of age?
I think it's time that you at least look for a replacement, at least look for a new franchise quarterback. Ben Roethlisberger is getting up there in age, and he has threatened retirement, I believe, twice in the past, so this could be the third time that he thinks about retiring. You have Mason Rudolph, but he's not really your franchise quarterback, so maybe they could look into the draft this year. I know they have Zach Wilson could be available, Justin Fields. Maybe they could trade up and get a new quarterback.
Hey, coming up this afternoon, of course, is the Rams and the Packers 4:35 kickoff on Fox. And wanted you to weigh in on Aaron Rodgers. I mean, is he going to have any issues with the Rams? I mean, now I know they're pretty banged up, but who will prevail ultimately?
That Rams defense might be the best remaining defense in the playoffs, so it's... You can never underestimate them just based on their defense alone. However, Aaron Rodgers has just been so dynamic. Him and Devontae Adams have been the best wide receiver quarterback combo in football this year. And they're playing in Lambeau when it could snow. It doesn't really look good for the Rams, especially with their offensive woes. And who knows if Jared Goff is going to be 100% by game time today.
Our NFL news and notes continues with the Washington Post sports reporter. That is Neil Greenberg coming up next.
The Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to connect with our audience many different ways. You can always go back and listen to all of our interviews at podcastarena.com, info@eradiosports.com, and @eradiosports. We're always live on Twitter. Lighten it up. Hey, at O'Reilly Auto Parts, you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest prices. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. It is time to buckle up. The 2020 NFL Wild Card Super Weekend. We are breaking it all down, and we are so delighted to have with us for the very first time national sports reporter with the Washington Post, Adam Kilgore. It's good to have you on the program. Thank you.
Great to be with you. Fight up for the game.
Well, we've got a lot to get into, but first of all, let's recap. Let's talk about the Washington football team. They are certainly 7-9. They are still standing, and in Week 17, they won the NFC East in a division that really wasn't that good. How did Ron Rivera's team, how did they do it? They played their best football in the second half of the season.
Yeah. Wasn't that good. It might be the nicest thing anyone has said about the NFC East all season. This is a team that, I mean, they were really dead in the water about, they started 1-5. They were predicted to be, locally and nationally, the very bottom of a mediocre at best division. This is a team that people thought was going to be in the running for the first overall pick in the draft, and looking at like 3-13. I think Rivera is the first coach the Washington franchise has had in a long time that's been able to establish not only a professional culture, but even beyond that, to like a very sturdy and demanding and accountable culture. I think that's where it started. And a lot of the old Carolina Panthers players expected that would be the case. Number two is Alex Smith got healthy enough to play NFL football, which is a miracle and not something Washington or anyone else saw coming after the catastrophic leg injury he suffered 2 years ago. So, I think the combination of Rivera and Smith gave them, you know, two adults in charge of things, which is something this franchise has not been able to say very often. And secondly, their defense is just a monster, particularly their D-line. They're built a little bit like last year's NFC champion San Francisco 49ers were, in that they just stacked and stacked and stacked first-round picks on the D-line. And much like Nick Bosa last year for the Niners, sort of that kind of force multiplier that turned a good defense into a great one. That's what Chase Young has done for this defense. Chase Young has been fantastic. Will probably end up being the NFL Rookie of the Year. On the other side, Montez Sweat, a first-round pick, it was a little disappointing in his rookie season. In his second year, playing in the 4-3, which coordinator Jack Del Rio brought with him, has made a huge difference too. So those three things: it's a new coach, a quarterback who is, you know, by no means a spectacular or, you know, honestly like that productive of a player.
Yeah.
But just the, you know, professionalism he brought, his ability to sort of like, you know, put the ball where it needs to be, take care of the ball, and the defense led by that young D line has been, why all of a sudden this really horrible team was good enough to win a horrible division.
You are listening to The Voice and getting you ready for the Super Wild Card Weekend. That is Adam Kilgore. Give him a follow on Twitter at Adam Kilgore WP. Of course, he is a national sports reporter with The Washington Post. Does an amazing job. And, you know, it is interesting as we kind of like assess, you know, how this season has played out for the Washington football team. They stand right now 7-9. I talk about the improvement in the second half of the season. Is there one particular player or what improved the most? Is there one stat that really jumps out at you, Adam?
Yeah, so I'd say there's one player that's probably a little bit unheralded who played a bigger and bigger role as the season went along, and that was the rookie running back Antonio Gibson. Out of Memphis, he was a receiver in college, and the Washington staff sort of, with offensive coordinator Scott Turner, they didn't think he was going to be like a Christian McCaffrey-level player, but they did think, having been in Carolina, that they could use him like the Panthers used McCaffrey when Turner was there. And so how they were able to be successful was they basically made him into a threat who could line up in the slot or play as a running back. And, you know, for a guy who had not played full-time running back in college, he looks like one. You know, he runs hard. He's a playmaker. He's explosive. He gave that offense an element that they were really missing. He's been banged up, and his health is going to be a big deal on Saturday night.
Okay, so speaking of health, I mean, that's obviously one of the biggest storylines leading into this game when we talk about Washington. You had mentioned talking about the quarterback, Alex Smith. So the question is, will he start?
We don't know yet. You know, today actually, earlier this week, Taylor Heinicke and Smith were splitting their reps. Taylor Heinicke is a young quarterback who was out of football until midway through the season when Washington signed him really as like an insurance policy. But when things sort of collapsed with Dwayne Haskins and Smith got banged up late in the year, they actually had to play him late in a trying to come back in one game. And it wasn't that bad. He showed a little bit of life, you know, pretty athletic guy, moves around, a lot of confidence, a lot of swagger for a player in his position, career-wise and stature-wise. And Ron Rivera said they might end up splitting reps. And I don't think we're going to know who the quarterback is until they take the field. And they could very well change off, you know, series by series, which I think, is not what you want to be doing in an NFL playoff game, but it might benefit them just because the speed of Tampa's defense, combined with the lack of mobility that Smith has been showing as he's been playing through a calf strain on that leg he hurt so bad a few years ago, they might need a guy like Heinicke who can move around a little bit. I think that'll, you know, I think Smith's presence will be important, but it might be nice to have a guy who's more mobile, who can handle that Tampa pass rush a little bit better.
Well, Adam, that makes perfect sense. I mean, with the mobility issues, the health issues with Alex Smith, why not platoon those quarterbacks and see how that's going to work out? Hey, give me a quick hit talking about, as far as you'd mentioned Chase Young. So how will the defensive line, how are they going to disrupt Tom Brady?
Yeah, great question. I mean, that is the most interesting about this matchup, because obviously, as everyone, you know, likes to talk about, the one way to beat Tom Brady, or at least disrupt him as much as you can, is, you know, getting pressure up the middle with three or four guys. And that's what this defense is predicated on. And so, yeah, I mean, if Washington has a chance in this game, it's going to be because, you know, Chase Young can get the quarterback in less than 2 seconds, because, you know, they might move Sweat inside and let him rush, you know, try to get in Brady's face really fast. They're going to need Jonathan Allen to have a huge game. He's a former first-round pick and is that inside rusher who can be disruptive. So, yeah, that's where the game maybe it won't be decided, but if Washington has any chance at all, those guys need to be dominant, which would be hard because no one gets the ball out faster, more accurately than Brady, and Tampa Bay's offensive line is pretty good. So it's going to be a big challenge to even stay in this game, but I do think the D-line, you know, is something interesting to watch and will give them, you know, will give them a chance. But, you know, I don't think you're going to be able to blitz Brady. I mean, he's proven that over his career. It will be interesting to see how he handles that. You know, a lot of Tampa's passing game is predicated a little more on deeper balls, so maybe that gives those guys a split second more to get to the quarterback, but that's where the game's going to be come down to, if it's a game at all. Because if they can't get pressure on Brady, then this could be an ugly fest.
Right. Hey, we're getting you ready for the Buccaneers 11-5 and the Washington football team 7-9 tonight. Kickoff 8:20 Eastern time. You can watch that on NBC. We're wrapping up our time. Just quickly, I mean, what do you think the focus is going to be in the offseason to upgrade the quarterback position? Because they're going to be searching for some answers. What do you think, Adam? Give me a quick hit.
Yes, it's going to be fascinating. So they're going to have probably the 19th pick, unless they win on Saturday. And it's probably too late in the draft to get certainly one of the top two quarterbacks and almost certainly the third quarterback. So they might not be in good draft position to draft a franchise guy. I'm sure they'll probably be players for, you know, the quarterbacks that shake loose, like a Matt Stafford or something like that. You know, Ron Rivera does have history with Cam Newton. There was a lot of speculation last offseason about that. After the season Newton had this year in New England where he wasn't so productive, we'll see if there's any interest there. But they're certainly on the lookout. I mean, they just cut a quarterback he drafted 2 years ago in the first round, and Smith's health means he's not going to be there for too much longer. So they'll be looking. I'm not sure the answer will be this year in the draft. Might be more of a stopgap, and they hope they can strike gold in a future draft.
Hey, check him out at Adam Kilgore WP. We're talking with Adam Kilgore, who's been with us in hour two at Sports Map Radio Network. What a great way to get ready for the wild card weekend. Thank you so much, and you stay safe, okay, Adam?
Yeah, be well. Stay safe.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. Bob Glauber, NFL columnist for New York Newsday, is coming up next. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back to Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to connect with you live on Twitter, at E-Radio Sports, info at eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Well, it is a big weekend in sports. We look forward to the NFL divisional rounds getting underway today. And how about the PGA Tour? The Sony Open is underway in Hawaii, so we've got a lot of ground to cover in our next segment. And you know what? If anyone can handle it, it is our next guest. He can do it all from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. And he is the former voice of the Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. That is the great Bill Rosinski. It's always a thought-provoking conversation when you're on the show. Hello, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Alyssa. Great to hear your voice again. Belated Happy New Year. And this is going to be a fun weekend for a number of sports teams, including my Buffalo Bills. I grew up there,
okay.
So living and dying with the Bills Mafia.
Well, let's start off right there. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, 14-3. We're going to watch kickoff tonight, 8:15 on NBC as they face the Ravens. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, I'm concerned because of what the Ravens might be the hottest team, even though the Bills are on a roll. They struggled last week against the Colts, stopping the run. And when you say that and then think about what the Ravens can do, especially with Lamar Jackson, the Bills' defense has to play a lot better than they did last week. Now, I understand it's supposed to snow. going to be cold.
Yeah.
But that's, to me, when I think about that, if you're a runner, that gives you a huge edge because you know where you're going, and the defense, if they're slip sliding in the snow, doesn't. So that would be my big concern. Josh Allen's got to play really well tonight. The Bills have to control the ball, make some big plays, and somehow, some way, don't let Lamar Jackson beat you.
Well, give us your assessment on the Ravens, because they have played very well as of late. I mean, as have the Bills, but they've not lost a game since the first week in December. I mean, who do you see have the edge in this matchup?
Well, as far as the momentum, even like I said, even though the Bills are on this winning streak, they, you know, the Colts took it to them last week. That offensive line of Indies did a good job of controlling the line of scrimmage. They controlled the clock. They just couldn't, when they got in the red zone, they just made too many mistakes. I don't see Baltimore doing that. I think that the story in this game, again, is going to be the defensive line for the Bills. They've got to be able to contain Lamar Jackson. I think the offense of the Bills will make some plays. I think Josh Allen, I mean, this kid is just getting better and better each week. Might be the best quarterback playing right now. I know Mahomes is in another world, but as far as, you know, what he's done lately, I don't know if there's anybody better than Josh Allen. I'm going to take the Bills because I'm a homie.
Okay.
And I think it'll be close.
Uh-huh.
But if Baltimore wins this game, I wouldn't be surprised.
Bill is unapologetic. He loves his Bills. And from PGA Tour, Sirius XM Radio, former voice in the NFL with the Falcons and the Panthers, that is Bill Rosinski. So as we step back, I mean, did you think the start of the season that the Rams or the Cleveland Browns, they would be still standing? I mean, what were your expectations?
You know, with the Browns, and I will preface this by saying my wife is from Northeast Ohio, so she's a big Browns fan.
Is she? Okay.
You know, I pull for the Browns. And this has all been, you know, they have a great running game. And I think Kevin Stefanski's come in there and done just a marvelous job coaching that team. To win, you know, I know the Steelers didn't play well last week, and Roethlisberger might be at the end of it. But to have your head coach sitting at home in the basement, and to go there,
yes,
and win on the road, that told me something about that franchise. Baker Mayfield is a good quarterback. I watched him in college a number of times. There's a lot of talent there, but they need to run the football. Am I surprised, your question? You know, to some extent, but I thought it really helped them when Odell Beckham Jr. got hurt. I just didn't think there was a lot of chemistry there, and that in the big picture may have helped the Browns to where they are right now. I don't like them against Kansas City. I think that's too tough there. But the Browns, to some extent, surprised me. But Mayfield's played really well, especially the second half of the season. And the Rams, you know, it's just I've never been a big Goff fan. They did get to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Now they've got a running back in Cam Akers. But their defense with Donald banged up with the ribs and going against, you know, after going on the road to Green Bay, that's a tough haul there. So. The Rams didn't surprise. That's a tough division, that NFC West, with you know, the other three teams there, with the Rams going with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. The Seahawks surprised me last week with how poor they played. But I'm pulling for the Browns. I don't think they beat the Chiefs, and I just don't see how the Rams win up in Green Bay.
Okay, you mentioned being surprised. How surprised were you with Cleveland, of course, advancing to the divisional round against Pittsburgh, but, you know, jumping out to that, 28-0 start in the first quarter? That was crazy. I mean, your wife had to be going nuts.
I think she was in shock.
I think a lot of Browns fans were.
Well, when the first play of the game for the Steelers on offense, the center, a veteran guy, a Pro Bowl guy, snaps it over Roethlisberger's head and you get a touchdown. That just tells me that there was something going on that night. The Steelers weren't ready. The Browns, no one was picking the Browns to win that game just because of what was going on with COVID, the guys they were missing, the head coach not being there. And, you know, in this game, Alyssa, it's a lot about turnovers. And the Steelers made a bunch of them.
Yep.
And that score was really not indicative of how lopsided I thought the game was. The Browns were letting the Steelers dink and dunk their way downfield using a clock. They didn't have a big strike capability there, but I think, you know, if you, with these four games we have this weekend, look at the turnovers. And I think what you'll find is the team that makes the most mistakes ends up getting beat.
Hey, glad you're with us. Sports Map Radio Network joining us from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. That is Bill Rosinski. So let's transition. Let's talk some PGA news and notes. Of course, the Sony Open, it is underway right now in Hawaii. But when we look at the 2021 season, I mean, what do you think are some of the biggest storylines that we need to keep our eye on?
The continuation of the dominance of Dustin Johnson, for one. This guy has had all the talent in the world, and over the last couple of years has really put it together. He has a short run as the Masters champ. He gets the green jacket in November, and now in April he'll have to put it on somebody else, or maybe he can win back-to-back. I think that's one story to watch. Another is on the opposite end of that is Jordan Spieth. From what I understand, he's now working with Butch Harmon on his swing. Here's a kid who was number one in the world just a few years ago, and has literally fallen off the map. I remember covering, this was at Memorial, when I think I was following Jordan, and he was ranked 200th in fairways and regulation.
Wow.
And if you went back a few years before that, when he was number one, he was like fifth or sixth, something like that. Well, if you're not hitting fairways, I don't care what kind of golf course you're playing, even the ones in Hawaii, like we're playing the first couple of weeks here, you've got a problem. So I think that's, you know, can he get it back? Can Jordan Spieth regain the confidence, regain the swagger that he had a couple of years ago? Tiger will always be in there. With Tiger, it's when you're going to play. And you know, we might say, I don't know if he's going to play Torrey in February or not. He'll obviously be at Augusta in April, barring any setbacks or any injuries that he might have. So I think that's another story. And then guys like Rory McIlroy, Jason Day, and some of these other guys who have, you know, just not played to what we've expected them to play. Can they rally? And can they get back in the hunt in major championships? I think so. Those are some of the stories that I'm looking at this year. And it's a Ryder Cup here in the fall, so hopefully that'll go off. Hopefully we'll have fans there by then. And I think that'll be a big story as we get in past the Tour Championship.
You know, Bill, I hadn't heard that Jordan is working with Butch. So is he still, is Cameron McCormick still on board and part of his team?
Not sure. All I know is there are reports, and I think they've been confirmed, that he's at least reached out to Butch Harmon and trying to get some advice. A lot of players over the years, one of the great teachers in the game. So as far as what his whole team is like right now, I really don't know.
Hey, Bill Rosinski with us, Sports Map Radio Network. You did mention Rory McIlroy. Okay, can he win another major? It has been 6 years since he's won one. So what can we look forward to with him? And how would you assess his game? I mean, a lot has changed in his personal life now, being married and just having a baby girl.
Yeah, and it's not like he's been pathetic. I mean, he's played some pretty good golf, but this is what we expect of a guy like McIlroy. And I know over the years a few times the media has kind of jumped on him and written him off. I remember before he won the PGA at Kiawah Island, I remember talking to him on a Wednesday because he had just done a major press conference, and he'd been in kind of a slump. And the writers were asking him, like, what's wrong with your game? You don't have any confidence, blah, blah, blah. So then I did a one-on-one with him, and I said, people seem to write you off every now and then, but you're always able to come back. He was very confident going into that week, and he ended up winning the thing by like 8 shots or something like that. For me, with McIlroy, it's all about the short game and his putting. He's never been a great putter, but when he's been able to stick it close to the flag with the second shots or third shots, whatever they may be, he's been able to make them. But if you look back and take a look at strokes gained putting and some of the other short game numbers for him, I think that's where he falls off. So if he can get that going, he certainly has he crushes the golf ball.
Oh, yeah.
And speaking of that, the other guy we're going to watch, and what else can DeChambeau do to his body to
improve
the ball striking? I mean, that's always I like DeChambeau. He's an interesting guy, always a good interview. And he certainly had a lot of people's attention over the second half of the season just based on how far he was hitting the golf ball, able to win a U.S. Open. So that's another story we'll look at again. Can he continue to improve with the body he's got?
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back on this Saturday morning at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. Many different ways to connect. We are always live on Twitter, at eRadio Sports, info at eRadioSports.com, and podcastarena.com. You bet, twice is nice. You can go back and listen to all of our amazing guests over our 2 hours. Our program being powered by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Don't let a bad battery leave you stranded. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery free of charge. If it needs to be replaced, O'Reilly Auto Parts can help you find the exact battery for your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. Keep your vehicle on the road by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, our PGA News and Notes continues in our next segment, and we are so delighted to have with us for the very first time from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, host of his show, Connected, that you can listen to every Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 Eastern Time, and that is the multi-talented Craig Kann. Happy New Year. Good to have you on the program, Craig.
Happy New Year to you. Thanks so much for having me on. Glad to be able to do this for the first time.
Well, listen, I did have a chance for the first time to listen to your program on the way home from the golf course on Wednesday night. You had a terrific lineup, some great guests. You know, you have such an impressive resume. I mean, how much joy are you having, you know, doing radio? Because you're the former chief of communications officer for the LPGA. You do it all.
Well, I 16 and a half years in the Golf Channel studio helped me out a little bit to make a transition to doing radio. And to be perfectly honest, after, you know, 25 years total doing TV, radio was something I didn't necessarily have, you know, at the top of my list as something that I thought was going to end up happening for me. But when I got that phone call and had a chance to do a show with Chris DeMarco about 3 years ago, I was all over it. It was a lot of fun. And then John Cook said, hey, you want to do a show with me? And I started going in on this show and did a little bit of pregame and postgame. And lo and behold, now I've got this show on Wednesday nights, and it's kind of a regular thing. So I'm truly enjoying it. For me, you know, the topic or the name of the show, Connected, is absolutely perfect, because that's what I try to do, not just get connected with great guests within the industry, the athletes themselves on various tours, but also the listeners, you know, trying to connect with them and make it golf as a game for everybody and not just another show.
You know, Craig, when I listened to your program on Wednesday, I'm so grateful that right off the top, I mean, you recognize someone in the golf community that needs our encouragement and certainly needs our prayers. And we're talking about the head women's golf coach at Arizona State in Missy Kay. So she's in her sixth season as the Sun Devils women's coach and was recently diagnosed with colon cancer, and she's undergoing treatment. I mean, what can you share? What can you tell us about that?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I saw that on Twitter. Some would say I'm a Twitter addict, but I read that story and did a little bit of research on it. I don't know her personally, but when I saw that she was diagnosed with colon cancer and is the head coach of a real, you know, prominent school with a great history, it hit home for me. I lost my dad, as I said on the air, to colon cancer back in the early 2000s. We have a family history with Crohn's, and it's something that means a lot to me. And so when I saw that, I just wanted to reach out. You know, I mean, it sounded like I was able to call her, but I felt like I put something out there for those that would truly know her. We all know somebody, right? We know somebody that knows somebody. And if I could just put a little positivity into the Twitter space or the radio space, and have maybe that message get back to her and a few extra prayers, that's what I was looking to do last night. And that's just one of the kinds of things that I'm trying to do. Look, I'm not trying to save the world or anything, but I do think we need a little bit more positivity in our lives. And that was something that I know she probably needs, and she needs it from far greater numbers than just me. So if we can collect everybody's thoughts and prayers and and well wishes. Hopefully some positive things will happen for her.
You are listening to The Voice. SiriusXM radio host Craig Kann is with us for the first time at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. So on a lighter note, let's move ahead and let's take time to recap last weekend's Century Tournament of Champions in Hawaii, Harris English's big win. You talk about inspirational. I mean, here he was able to overcome a seven-year winless drought, and I know he probably had a lot of moments where he doubted himself. So what was your biggest takeaway? And he beat those demons.
He sure did. It's interesting. He used the same putter to win the tournament this past week that he used when he won Mayakoba in 2013.
Right.
So sometimes you go back to Old Faithful. I think it's important to take his message about team. You know, that was the big thing that came across that I took from his victory last week, was that, you know what, during that whole time he never lost faith. And he had people around him that cared, and he had people around him that that lifted him up and kept his spirits where they needed to be. Golf's a really tough game. You know that. That card, that PGA Tour card, is on loan, and there's a carrot that dangles in front of every player. Not everybody gets to the Tour Championship. In his case, he did. He didn't have a win last year to even get into the Century Tournament of Champions. But lo and behold, he has a great week, and he's been playing really good golf. You know that. I have a little story to tell. I was at the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill this past year, and I was caddying for a buddy of mine, A.J. Przinski, the former baseball player from my favorite team, the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
And he was in the Pro-Am, and Tommy Fleetwood was our pro.
Oh my
gosh. So we were walking, and I'm carrying Przinski's bag, and we're having a good time. And lo and behold, Harris English walks up to us in the middle of the fairway at 18. Now, he was not in the Pro-Am that week, but he was out walking the golf course. Now, usually the caddies will do all the research and mark down things in the yardage book and all that stuff, but Harris English was doing it himself. And that said a lot to me. Number one, he came up just to talk to us, but also the effort that he was putting in to get back. And so to see him get that victory, that's pretty powerful stuff, and it sends a message to a lot of other players. And I think it's a good message for young players as well in the game to persevere.
You know, I want you to weigh in on Joaquin Niemann and his execution in the playoff. He lost on the first hole of the sudden death playoff last week's Century Tournament of Champions. He fired, you know, that final round 64, but I was a little bit perplexed. We talked about it in hour one this morning that he did not stay warmed up. I mean, he was over at that picnic table, and Justin Leonard had actually pointed it out during the broadcast that he needs to get up. He needs to get moving. You know, going forward, do you anticipate he's going to do things a little bit differently?
Well, we always remember at Valhalla, because I was there when Kenny Perry was at the PGA Championship and went and sat up in the booth with Jim Nance, right? And everybody was saying, whoa, you might be in a playoff here. What are you doing? And I think everybody does things a little bit differently. He's a young talent. I think he's got real potential to make a difference. I'm talking about winning a major championship.
Right. Yeah.
He's got that kind of ability. So if he's the player that I've listened to on air, I believe he'll learn something from it. And it was his routine, right? I mean, he didn't just willy-nilly go do that. He had to have in his mind, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to handle it. I'm going to try to relax. I'm going to try to stay in the moment and not put too much pressure on myself. That's a big event. And so, the next time around, he'll probably be over on the putting green, or he'll probably be on the range hitting shots that are in his mind for the hole that he's going to play. That's what a lot of guys do. If they're going to play the 18th over again, then they're eyeballing the tee shot. Do they need to cut it? Do they need to draw it a little bit? What's the second shot going to be? And they try to play. They know where that hole location is. So you try to, you know, visualize that so that when you get up there, pull your number of where you're going, first or second or third or whatever the playoff is, you know exactly what you're doing and you stay in the present. I think he'll learn from it.
Okay, so Craig, if you were caddying, I mean, what advice would you give him? How much time do you take to rehydrate, eat something, and then get back out on the range? I mean, what say you?
Well, first off, I'll say this. The next player that listens to me as a caddy or an analyst is going to be the first. I always remember Steve Flesh is a good buddy of mine, and I caddied for him in the Pro-Am one year in Fort Worth at Colonial. And we played the ninth hole. I don't know how familiar you are with that hole. But,
oh, yeah, for sure.
He hits a beautiful D shot, and he had 140. I always remember this. We still laugh about this. He had 143 yards to the hole. All right, this is in the pro-am, okay? So things are pretty relaxed. 143 yards. There's water on the ninth. And I pulled out a nine iron and gave it to him. And he never asked me, you know, I just said, you know, 143 yards, here you go. And I pretty much knew his clubs. And he goes, and I'm not going to say exactly what he said because I can't for your show. But he goes, did you just hand me a club? And I said, yeah, I handed you a club. He goes, let me tell you something. And we're really good friends. He goes, you never hand me a club and tell me to hit the club. You give me the yardage, I'll tell you what club I want. I put the club back in the bag. I said, 143 yards. What club do you want? And he goes, give me the nine iron. So he goes with the same club that I had given him before, hits it to 6 feet, makes the putt. And it was a fun moment. But all I would say, you know, if you're Neiman or anybody else is, hey, do what's comfortable to you. Stay in the moment. Relax. Find a way to relax. There's so much pressure. I just don't think you can be that laser focused to the point that you tense up. You got to find a way to do something, whether it's talk to a friend, have a laugh, have a chuckle. You know, I do a lot of speaking now and traveling and doing workshops and coach executives on how to stand in front of an audience on a stage. And one of the biggest moments is the first one, walking up the stage. And if you are nervous or too tensed up, you're not going to do what you need to do, which is deliver something special right off the bat. You only got so much time to make that first impression. So I would be telling a player, relax, do something fun, and then go win this.
And to add to your story, I mean, one of the things that we always know now is the player is the captain of the ship. You always defer to.
That's right.
They're in charge, right, Craig?
Yep, they are absolutely in charge. You got to do what they say. And at the end of the day, they're the ones hitting the golf shot. So, you know, they can tell you no. But if you have a great relationship, you're going to be able to, you know, give them a little bit of something that's going to help them along the way.
Hey, we're having a good time visiting with SiriusXM radio host. Check him out Wednesday night, 7 to 9 Eastern time. Craig Kann, the title of his program, is Connected. It is an awesome listen. So we also want to talk about some of the hot topics. And that, of course, one of the big storylines this week is the PGA Championship is going to step away from Trump National. Do you agree or disagree? I mean, there's a lot of companies disassociating themselves with the Trump brand?
Well, I'm going to say exactly what I said on the air, on my show and on a couple of other shows over the last week. And that is this. Number one, you're never going to steer me into a conversation about politics, because I firmly admit I don't know enough about either side to be able to say. I can tell you how I voted, but I don't think anybody really cares. And with that, didn't matter to me whether it was, you know, Biden National or Trump National. I think the PGA of America did what it had to do, or it felt it had to do, to protect their own brand. And to me, that's the most important thing. At the end of the day, it's really not as much about Trump as it is about the PGA of America. If you were running a company and you were having a big event, you would want to protect your best interest. You would want to protect your employees. In this case, the PGA of America is looking at their major championship. There are only four, and their big event. You could say the Ryder Cup is bigger, but they wanted to make sure there was no risk of a potential, I'm not going to say riot, but let's just call it a protest, be it quiet, peaceful, or otherwise. They didn't need that. They don't need to put the players in harm's way. They don't want to put the community in harm's way. And I'm not suggesting that any of that would have happened. But at a certain point, especially given the pandemic that we're in, there are a lot of businesses that are losing money and are already nervous about how they do business and how they operate. I just don't think they needed that added to it over the next 2 years. There is a line that any publicity is good publicity. In this case, I don't think that's the case. And I just don't think you can fault them for making that decision. You might not agree with it, but you can't fault them for what they did.
Our PGA News and Notes continues with Craig Kann after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 2, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, let's rejoin from Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio, Craig Kann. Hey, we are wrapping up our time. Craig Kann, Sirius XM Radio host of the show Connected, has been with us at Sports Map Radio Network. Quickly, we've got about 60 seconds. You are the former chief of communications officer for the LPGA. And, of course, big news a couple of weeks ago, Michael Wan, the commissioner, is going to step down after 11 years as the LPGA commissioner. What was your reaction? And just can you talk about the impact that he has had with the women's game under his leadership and his guidance?
Well, 60 seconds isn't enough to talk about the impact
he made.
There were, you know, $40 million in prize money to $65 million in prize money, or more than that. You know, they were on tape delay when I got there in 2011. They're live 99% of the time these days. He's done so many great things for the organization. He's lifted their spirits. He's lifted, elevated the awareness of the organization. The players are all in. They've bought in. And every stakeholder that's a part of the LPGA right now is in a great spot. And there is great value to what he's been able to do. He's left an impact on a lot of people. He's brought unity to the table for everybody. There are different divisions within the LPGA. I mean, I could talk about a lot of different things, and I will say this. He made an impact on me as well. I learned a lot just watching his leadership, and I know the players are blessed to have been able to be there during his tenure. It was supposed to be 4 years. It ended up being 11. Great things for the organization during that time, and probably even better coming because of what he did while he was there.
Hey, we will have to continue this conversation. We will reconvene. And, of course, check out Craig Kann Wednesday, 7 to 9 Eastern Time, Connected on Sirius XM PGA Tour.